some of the things that we talked about on Friday night, and especially when we are talking about repentance unto salvation, that word, as we said, repentance is so important because it really starts off the whole process. The whole process of our becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ starts off with repentance. People want to make that word so quick, but it's not. It requires a lot of work. I like the example Sister Mitchell was saying with her son concerning them trying to get the ground ready for the vegetables. And a lot of times people look at dirt, dirt just looks like dirt. You don't think much of it, but it's the part that you really don't see that impacts the growth. And that's really what your Sunday school lesson was talking about, how a lot of the unseen things can hinder growth. And that is so true. And that is why it's so important to make sure that when we get the Word of God is good seed. As I said, there's only two types of seeds. We look at it, there's two headships in the world. Jesus Christ that represents righteousness and life, Satan that represents sin and death. So there's only two seeds. You're either getting a seed from Jesus or you're getting a seed from Satan. You already know what Jesus' seed intended to do. So Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Satan or the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So his seed is only coming, or the intention of his seed is to harm me. It's not to make me better. It's to harm me. So these are the things that we have to keep before ourselves as we approach that repentance in our life. And as I said on Friday night, repentance is something that you will be doing until you die, until you stop breathing. That's the only time that you will stop repenting. Elder Williams no longer needs to repent anymore because she's done. You understand that? She's no longer battling with the two natures. There's no battle anymore. The dead don't battle anymore. Whether they're saved or whether they lost, they don't battle no more. Man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And then the scripture says, where is he? In other words, after you stop breathing, you enter into judgment. There's no more battle. There's no more fight. There's no more proving who you're going to follow and who you're going to be submissive to. This is why we try our best to get the message across to those that are living. As long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, you have an opportunity. But once you stop breathing, that is it. There is no more calling Jesus. There is no more living holy. That's all to be done in this body, in this life. So it determines what we do in this body, where we're going to spend eternity. So this is why we encourage you to really grasp this understanding of the importance of repentance, the importance and the value of repentance. As we said earlier, it requires a singleness of mind. Your mind has got to be focused. Your mind has got to be, when you talk about singleness, obviously the root word in singleness is what? Single. Single means what? One. We got to have one mind. Go over to Hosea chapter number 10. Look at a couple of verses there. Then we're going to go over to the book of Acts. If you look at Hosea chapter number 10 and look at verse number, let's look at 1 and 2. Chapter number 10 and 1. Let's start at 10 and 1.
Israel is empty. It's an empty vine.
Yeah. Is that a good thing? No. That's not a good thing. That's not a goal. Remember our three images that are on the board back there. You got the stump. You got the tree that's full of fruit. And then you got the tree that got branches that hardly has nothing on it. And the Lord is describing Israel as that tree that got branches, but they ain't got nothing on it. Because he says Israel is a what? An empty vine. That's, everybody got it? Hosea chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Hosea 10 and 1. It says Israel is an empty vine. Okay? Keep going. And that is that any good? That's not any good, because the Lord didn't create us to benefit ourselves. He created us for His glory. Come on, Elder Scudder, let's see. Elder Scudder, don't take my word for it, right? Somebody else go over now, really quick. Hold your finger there, because I'm coming back to it, to Isaiah 43 and verse number 7. Isaiah 43 and 7. Isaiah 43 and 7, and then we're going to go back over to Hosea 10 and 1. So that you can understand, your life has to have purpose. And you cannot be full of yourself. Not when you're trying to be productive by Jesus' standards. When Jesus puts the word inside of us, He is looking for us to completely depend and rely on Him to grow, to be something. Yes, right, not my will. That's the, not my will, not my way, not the way I want to do it. Jesus wants us to lean and depend on Him. And that requires that we deny ourselves and give ourselves over to Jesus. Understand who we are. Understand why we are here. And this is what Isaiah is trying to get across to us. It says, even I, what does the rest of it say? That's who we are, saints. We are people that have been called out for the name of Jesus. Now, we're not going around using titles to identify our God. We're calling our God by His name. We call Him by His name in our praise. We call Him by His name in our prayers. We call Him by His name in our testimonies. People say, who woke you up this morning? We say it was nobody but Jesus. You sing your songs of praise. You praise the name of Jesus. When we preach, when we declare the message of holiness, we say, thus saith the Lord Jesus. Not flesh. Flesh didn't tell you this. Jesus said this. So we are people that have been called out by the name. It's what it says. Even everyone that has been called out by my name. Keep going. So who did it? Jesus did it. Jesus created you. As I told you all that song that Sister Sanders used to sing and we sing it. The Lord took me and made something beautiful out of my life. Now remember, what did Adam bring in us? Adam brought sin. Adam brought wickedness inside of us. Scripture said that we came forth our mother's womb speaking lies. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. David also said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother do what? Conceive me. So there was one creation that came, that we were involved in that we had nothing to do with. We didn't have anything to do with being born in sin. It was all because of Adam. You don't have no control over who your mom and your dad is. You don't have no control over your skin color. You don't have no control over what you look like. Now, people can try to go to the doctors and everything else to fix this and fix that, but that ain't going to do it. Because the Lord said, I already know what you look like. I'm the one that formed you from the dust of the ground. I'm the one that gave you the breath to breathe. I'm the one that allowed you to develop in your mother's womb. I know what you are designed to look like. But sin tries to take that and destroy it. Tries to cut it off. That's the truth, saints. Sin tries to cut your life off. Make you think like you're not worth anything. Make you think that you can't do anything, that you're not worth anything. But it's, thank the Lord gives us a message where he says, I will create you to be brand new. I'll make you the way that I designed you to be in the beginning, before sin got a hold of you. That's the truth. But what would you say? What was Adam like before sin got a hold to him? Adam was peaceful. Adam was happy. But then when he started letting that devil talk to him, you see, Eve got depressed. When Satan started talking to her, Eve got depressed. How do you know it? Because she was satisfied eating all of the other fruit in the garden. But then when she started talking to the devil made her think Jesus was holding something back from her. Right. See, scripture says that after the devil started talking to her, he said, you will not surely die. God knows the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. And you will be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. She said, Eve, look at that tree. She said it was a tree desired to make one wise. Huh? A desire to make one wise. It was good for food. But that scripture done told you that the day that you eat of that tree, you are going to surely die. So that when the devil starts talking to us, he tries to alter our thinking. He tries to alter the way we view things. He doesn't want you to see your full potential. He wants you to stay an empty vine, right? That's the truth. You look at Israel, and you could tell it was nobody but the devil manipulating their minds, letting them grow up and spread and become this great, great big vine, but had no fruit. The Lord done told you, even though they said they were working hard to bring forth fruit, it looked like they had something on their vine, but in the eyesight of Jesus, they were empty. Huh? Hosea 10:1 didn't describe Israel as being a blessed vine. It called her an empty vine, right? You don't want to be no empty saint. Not when you got the opportunity to be filled with Jesus. There's no reason for you to be empty. You should say, Lord, I want to be filled. I want to be filled with you so that I can bring forth your fruit. Huh? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. That's what you want to come forth out of your life. You don't want that other foolishness. That other foolishness is a waste of time, right? So I don't want to be no empty vine, but I want to be a vine that's pleasing in the eyesight of Jesus. A vine where Jesus brings forth the fruit. Huh? That's the truth. Not Stephen. I don't want to be something where I can go back and say, look what I did. No. I want to be able to say, see what the Lord has done. We were just singing that song, right? See what the Lord has done. You ought to go through and count the blessings that Jesus brought in your life to where you can say, nobody did this but Jesus. Huh? We don't live in that kind of a world. We don't live in a kind of world where people are trying to give credit to Jesus. You take your president. What did your president do with this stimulus? He wasn't satisfied with just giving the people money, but he wanted the people to think that it was coming from out of his pocket. When it ain't coming out your pocket, it's people's tax dollars, people's hard-earned money that they have sweat to put into that system, and you ain't even doing nothing but giving them back what they put in. But look at what he say, put my name on the check. Put my picture on it. I want people to know I did this. Let me sign my name on the letter. You will get a letter from me telling you what I have done for you. You have done nothing. How you can't do nothing without Jesus. I realize without Jesus, you can't move, you can't breathe, you can't exist without the Lord Jesus. Huh? That's a godly mind to think like that. But when you don't think like that, your mind is messed up. When you think you're the one doing all of this by yourself, your mind is messed up. Your thinking is messed up. And that's what was wrong with Israel. They looked at their vine, and in their mind, if you look at verse number, chapter number 10, back over to Hosea really quick. 10:1. Israel is an empty vine. right? He bringeth forth fruit unto herself. You see that, or himself. Keep going. Look at what he's done. Because that's what the world would have you to think. Because I got all of this stuff. I must be doing all right. Huh? You can't tell me I'm not blessed. Look at what I built up. Huh? Of my own efforts. I did it. Huh? Come on, with my own money. Isn't that like that rich man?
Yes.
That rich man said, I'm going to tear down these bonds and build me up some bigger bonds. Who going to do it? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to build it up. I built up the first one. I'm going to build up the second one. Huh? That's that self-thinking. Huh? Go over to, hold your finger there in Isaiah, in Hosea, and go over to Revelations 2. Let you realize that this is the condition that we find ourselves in right now. Revelations 3 and verse, start at verse number 15.
I know
thy
words.
You not cold nor hot. I want you to be something, be hot or cold.
Right.
So then, because thou art lukewarm.
What are they?
Lukewarm.
In other words, there's a mixture.
Right.
There's not a singleness of mind.
Right.
There's a mixture going on.
Right.
There's a little bit of here and a little bit of there.
Right.
And you can't be that way. No. You can't be that way. Not when you're trying to grow up in Jesus.
Right.
You can't have a little bit here and a little bit there. You got to have a singleness of heart, a singleness of mind. You got to have a focus. You got to understand, I'm doing all of this that Jesus might get the glory out of my life. I don't want anybody to say, look at what I did. Look at how I said no. Jesus gets the glory. You know how that song Mother Johnson sings, to God be the glory? Jesus gets the glory. For what? For all the things that he has done, right? That's the truth, saints. But look at this. They're lukewarm because they're trying to live on both sides of the fence. They got two different mind frames. A mind to serve Jesus and a mind to serve themselves. And Jesus said, what did it create? A lukewarm state. Come on, read a little bit more. Yes. Jesus said, when you have that kind of a double mind, those two different mind frames, Jesus said, I will reject you. He didn't say, I'm going to accept you. He didn't say, I'm going to reward you. He said, I will reject you. That word spew out of your mouth is equivalent to what we call spit. When we don't want something in our mouth, we spit it out. Because we're trying to say, this is disgusting. I don't want to digest this. I don't want this taste in my mouth no more. I am rejecting this. Do you want Jesus to spit you out of his mouth? No. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, I took the time to make you and form you, but some kind of way you got contaminated. And when I put you up to my mouth to taste you, when I put you up to my mouth to digest you, I want the Lord to taste me and say, Stephen is sweet. Stephen is a good flavor in my mouth. Huh? Isn't that what you want the Lord to do? I want the Lord to taste me and say, I'm a good flavor in my mouth. Therefore, he don't spit me out, but he keep on digesting me. Huh? In other words, he said, I took the time to make you, and I want to benefit from you, right? You are the work of my hand, right? Does that make sense, saints? That makes sense to me. I don't want the Lord to spit me out. Huh? You say, well, how do you get to the point where the Lord spits you out? Because you keep trying to live two different lives. Huh? You a covert agent. Huh? Then I tell you, like a James Bond. Huh? You a double agent. You don't know what side you on, right? You don't want to be that way with Jesus. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. You need to know yourself, right? That's the truth, saints. Come on, take that double-minded out of me. Take that double-minded covert spirit out of me. Give me a mind to be single. Single means what? One. To have one mind. And what is that one mind? Help me to keep my mind on Jesus. Help me to stay focused on pleasing Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one that created me. He says, I have created you. Everyone that is called out by my name, I have created you for my glory. I want to glorify Jesus. When I sing my song to Jesus, get the glory. When I read and share the word of God with somebody, to Jesus, get the glory. When somebody say, you are a blessing to me, to Jesus, get the glory. I don't want the Lord to think that I'm competing with something that belongs to him. There is no competition. He's greater than me. He's more powerful than me. He was here before I was and going to be here after me. To Jesus, get the glory, right? Does that make sense, saints? I don't want him to think that I'm trying to compete with him. Huh? That's right. In the eyesight of Jesus, I want him to know, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I can't do nothing without you, Jesus. I'm depending on you to breathe. I'm depending on you to move. I'm depending on you to live. If I don't have you, I don't have no life. I believe that. If I don't have no Jesus, I'm on my way to hell. It is because of Jesus. He put me on this straight and this narrow way. It is because of Jesus. I have a mind to live a holy and a sanctified life. It is because of Jesus. I get upset with myself when I find my mind getting distracted. It's not me, it's Jesus that opens up my understanding and says, Stephen, you're off track. Stephen, get yourself together, right? It's not me. It's all Jesus. He get the credit for it. Because if it was up to me, my life would be empty. Huh? That's what Hosea 10:1 says. Israel is an empty vine. Huh? She doing a whole lot of digging, doing a whole lot of building, but it's her own fruit. Huh? You don't want to be going around saying, look what I did. It's your own fruit. There's no glory for Jesus, right? What will you look like when you start doing it on your own? Go back over to Revelations. I didn't mean to jump over. Revelations, what did I say? 3? Where were you reading that, Darian? All right, read it. Keep going.
So then, because thou art lukewarm,
look, spew you out my mouth.
Right.
Keep going.
Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased.
Hold up. Isn't that like that vine in Hosea 10:1?
Right.
Says she brings forth her fruit,
right,
huh? According to her own efforts. She's doing it herself. That looked like the church of Laodicea.
Right.
That church said the same thing. Said, because I am rich and I got an increase in goods. In other words, I got money, I got clothes, I got stuff.
Right.
But see, Jesus don't teach you to focus on those things.
Right.
Jesus teaches you to pay attention to the reality.
Right.
The reality is you came into this world naked.
Right.
And you're not going to take nothing of your labor with you.
Right.
You will leave it all here.
Right.
Everything you've accumulated in this world is going to stay right here.
Right.
Only thing you leave with is your soul, right?
Right.
Where will your soul be at, right? Where will your soul be at? Huh? See, if people don't understand what this whole virus is waking people up to reality. You don't even leave with your wife. Huh? You don't even leave with your husband. You take them folks into the hospitals, they tell you, you cannot come with them. That's got to be a lonely feeling in that back room with all these tubes and foreign people constantly pushing and poking on you, giving you this and giving you that, and it's out of your control. And then all of a sudden you feel your body shutting down and you can't even say, hold my hand. You can't even say, where's my family? You're there all by yourself. Huh? Jesus already told you about this from the beginning. You came into this world naked, you leave naked, right? You take nothing with you. Nothing. That's the truth. You take nothing with you. You came in here by yourself. You're going to leave by yourself. I don't care how many things you accumulate. I don't care how many things you put in
your pocket, none of it goes with you. Why? Because it belongs to Jesus. The earth is the Lord's, right? And the fullness thereof, right? None of it is yours.
That's right.
Yeah. Only thing you got is your soul.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you're going to be able to take with you.
Huh?
Yeah. And you have to be asking yourself every day, if I should stop breathing, where will my soul be? That's why I pray the way I pray. That's why I fast the way that I fast. That's why I run the way that I run. Lest I get before Jesus and he said, depart from me, right? I don't want the Lord to say that about me. All this I've been doing. Then the Lord look at you and say, you don't even know I spit you out a long time ago. Lord said, I spit you out a long time ago. You didn't even realize you were a disgusting fruit. How could you say that, Lord? Because you didn't let me work with you. You went through this life trying to do it on your own, right? And you are disgusting, right? Therefore, I spew you. I spit you out of my mouth, right? Huh? Now look how they thought. They said, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. Huh? What else did they say? I have need of... They don't need no Jesus. Because they doing it all by themselves. I have need of nothing. But how does Jesus see it? This is the reality. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. And you are also blind, right? And you're naked, right? So stuff don't mean nothing to Jesus. Tell y'all that all the time. Stuff don't mean nothing to the Lord. Say, Elder Scott, I'm trying to do this. You can't do nothing without the Lord. I'm sorry. Stuff don't mean nothing to Jesus. Jesus was here before you and he's going to be here after you. You're fooling yourself if you think the Lord needs anything in your pocket. The Lord don't need it and the church don't need it. The Lord said, I build my church. Gates of hell should not prevail against it. I always laugh. I say, folk think, say, I ain't going to pay no tithes. I ain't going to give no offer. The Lord said, I got somebody that will. Then out of the blue, the Lord say, here go a check. A check for what? And just because the Lord put it on my mind to be a blessing. Huh? Come, you can't tell me how the Lord don't work. Huh? When you think you don't, the Lord say, don't worry about it. This is my church. I'm going to take care of my church. The very gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, right? I always say, now, what side of the coin do you want to be on? I don't want to be on that other side. Remember, only two sides. You either serving Jesus, serving that devil. Ain't no middle ground. You try to create that lukewarm state. That's that middle ground. Bringing them two heads together. Jesus said, no. I will spew you out of my mouth. It don't work. It don't work. All right. Go back over to Hosea, chapter number 10, and verse number 1. I just wanted you to get an understanding of what it is like to try to do things on your own in the eyesight of Jesus. Now you may say, I got all of this stuff and the Lord has blessed me. The Lord say, oh no, that ain't me doing none of this. Huh? You'll know it when I give it to you. The Lord say, you will know when the Lord gives it to you. Because the Lord gives you things with a right mind. He just don't give you a gift, but he gives you a mind along with that gift. Huh? Let's work on the Holy Ghost. Lord don't just give you the Holy Ghost. He corrects your mind first. When your mind is right, then he comes on the inside. That's a good gift. But see, you notice how the Lord give it. He just don't give it to you. He give it to you when he corrects your mind first. When your mind is right, then the Holy Ghost comes in. Therefore, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you say, I thank and I praise Jesus. If you don't get the Holy Ghost like that, you get up from the altar and say, look how hard I called the Lord. Huh? Look how serious I was when I was praying. And you see what happened to me. See how my hands move. See how I shout. See how I look. How the Lord said, you are empty vine. Huh? You doing it all yourself. none of that. That's all you. That's all you. Huh? Ain't no Jesus in that. That's all you. See what I did. See how I sell. You ain't no different than Lucifer. Lucifer had that old good old voice. And he talking about, since he sound good and everybody talking about how good he sound, he said, look, I'm going to be like the Most High God then. Huh? And the writer done told him, because iniquity was found in his heart. Fill this heart with violence. Do y'all understand that when you're full of yourself, you get full of violence? Huh? You wonder why people kill and fight? Because they are threatened. They feel that somebody's trying to take something that they worked hard for. And they saying, look, you ain't getting none of this and it's all mine. Huh? But little do they know, there's an unseen hand out there. There's an unseen hand that will knock the wind out of you. Huh? Take away all of your abilities to move and breathe. Huh? That's how Jesus fights. Huh? Jesus don't even let you see when he's coming. But all of a sudden he calls you and you just got to do an answer. Wherever you at, whatever you're doing, when he calls, you got to stop it right then and there, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Come on, get me back over to Hosea. My time. 10. Yes. Yes. He have increased the altar. He built up the altars, right?
According to the goodness of his land, they have made godly images.
Goodly. Not godly. Goodly images. Huh? In other words, that stuff look good. Huh? I'm not trying to tell you that the houses that people live in and the cars that they drive and the clothes they wear, some of that stuff look sharp. It catches your eyes. You say, man, that look bad. Huh? Man, you really looking like something. Huh? So much so you, it catches your eyes. You know, if I see a nice car ride by, it catches my eye. I stop and I say, whoa. Wonder what in the world they doing to drive something like that. Huh? And don't let them get out of it young. Huh? I see you old, you get out of it. I mean, you worked hard, you saved your money up. You know, you got it. But you younger than me. You young enough to be my child and driving something like that. What in the world did you do? Huh? Where do you live at? Huh? What kind of ideas do you have to get something that good and that nice? And they'll stop and tell you about their resume. Huh? Oh, you know, I graduated for such and such and such and such. You know, and I went here and got a job here and making this amount of money. And, you know, life has just been good. That's the idea. And you, if you're not careful, you'll be sitting up there looking like Asaph. Look. Yeah. Jesus. Help us, Lord. Well, you think you can hook me up? We got that thing backwards. The one that need to be hooked up is them. We the one got Jesus. But we let that devil fool us because of the things that we see. Because it does what? It looks good, right? Because they built up altars. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? Yes. They've increased their altars. Yes. And what else did they do? They done took this good land and built and made it what? Goodly? In goodly images. Images are things for you to look at. Huh? Lord Jesus, fix my eyes so that I don't get caught up looking at foolish stuff. Huh? That's what the revelation that are going to tell you, if you go back over there to chapter number 3, how you can fix this condition. See, you got a condition in your mind when you start looking at things that don't mean anything and start labeling them as blessings and goodly. Jesus said you need to anoint your eyes with salve, huh? And ask the Lord to fix my sight. Why? Because your vision is short-sighted. You need to see long distance. You need to see long down the road. Huh? Let you know it's no profit in gaining all this stuff and then losing your own soul, right? Only way you can think like that is the Lord got to anoint your eyes. Huh? That's the truth. Lord need to fix my eyesight. Huh? I can't go to the eye doctor and get that cured. Huh? Ain't no laser surgery. Ain't no contacts gonna fix this. Lord said you need some eye salve. Huh? You need some healing that come from me. You need some anointing that come from Jesus. That's why I say we're gonna ever be before the Lord repenting. Because when we get out, when my mind starts gazing at that car, if I'm not careful, I will allow what I see to take me off the road to holiness. Huh? Where I was at peace and content before I saw that car, I was so happy with Jesus. But because I saw something with my natural eyes, I started wandering off of Jesus, and I paid attention to something that does not mean anything. And it started making me feel certain kind of ways. Huh? Feeling like I'm less than. Feeling like I'm missing out. Feeling like that devil is better than me. Don't you forget you got Jesus, right? Nine times out of ten, that person does not know who Jesus is. Doesn't know him and then don't even care. They happy having an empty barn, increasing altars, and living off this land. Huh? And now I don't want to quote nothing wrong. It says the multitude of his fruit has he increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images, things that look good to see. Huh? But let's look at verse number 2. Verse number 2 is the kicker. This is where the Lord pulls the covers off of them. This is where I'm trying to pull the covers off of your mind. Huh? How did he get all this out of the scutter? Verse number 2 said his mind is doubled. Huh? He got a divided mind, right? Trying to love good and evil at the same time, right? Don't work. Is that? The heart is what? Oh, hold up. Hold up. But I thought they was blessed. I thought they was blessed. The Lord said, no, they faulty. Huh? They faulty. Keep going.
He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their
image. Isn't that a sad thing?
Yes.
See, this is what we are seeing right now in the land today.
Right.
The Lord is doing what? Breaking down. Huh? He's doing it, not me. Jesus is breaking down everything man has built up. Huh? All of his glory, all of his pomp, all of his air. The Lord is just taking it all away from them to where now they're living in great fear. Huh? Come on, don't even want to go outside and breathe the air. Why? Because they think they're going to catch something, right? Isn't that something? Something to think about, saints. That's why I say, you don't want the Lord to break you down. Don't let the Lord do this. You better repent on your own. You better change your mind on your own. You better jump over to verse number 12 and do this yourself. You better become a good farmer. Huh? I mean a good farmer. Say, Jesus, I don't want you to be the farmer. No, Lord. Let me do this. Huh? Let me work on my dirt myself, Jesus. Because if the Lord work on it, you're going to be in trouble. Huh? Lord done already told you what he will do in verse number 2. Verse number 2 say, I will find you faulty. And if I find you faulty, I'm going to tear you down, right? But if you have a mind to get yourself right, and I mean get yourself right. Get yourself right meaning let stuff go, make the necessary changes in your life, line your life up with the word of God. Don't back up from it. Say within yourself, Lord, whatever you say do, I'm going to do it. Huh? And Lord, if I'm coming up short, show me the errors of my ways and let me have a mind to fix myself. Why? Because I don't want the Lord to do it. Because if he do it, he going to put holes in my pocket.
Right.
He going to put a condition in my body.
Right.
Huh? I don't want to go through all of that.
Right.
Huh? You don't want the Lord to make you fall to your knees.
Right.
Huh? You don't want the Lord to do that to you.
Right.
You want to do it all on your own, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Lord done told you every knee is going to bow.
Right.
Huh? So if you do it on your own, if you don't, the Lord said, I'm going to make you bow down anyway, right?
Right.
So let me have a mind to bow down on my own.
Yes.
Huh? Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
He said, just like this morning, the Lord didn't force me to come praise him.
No.
I did that on my own.
Yes.
I had a mind to say, I got to praise the Lord.
Yes.
No matter what's going on in my body,
yes,
I got to praise the Lord.
Yes.
You did that all on your own.
No.
You didn't let the Lord make you do it.
Yes.
Huh? The Lord could have put you in a hospital bed somewhere.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Put you back in some back alley.
Right.
Somebody trying to chase you down and kill you.
Yeah.
Huh? And then you somewhere hiding. Say, Lord, I praise you. Lord, just get me out of this situation one more time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to magnify your name.
Yeah.
Lord didn't do that to you.
Right.
Lord said, I'm going to let you wake up in your own bed, in your own house, and let me see what you're going to do, right?
Right.
Of my own will, of my own mind, I praise the Lord. Huh? Of my own will and of my own mind, I have a mind to open up his word and let his word minister to me. Huh? That's what that word is trying to do. It's trying to serve you. It's trying to benefit. The Lord don't need none of this. Huh? He don't need none of this. He already sitting up high. Huh? He ain't threatened at all. Y'all understand that? We don't want to need Jesus. Why? Because we're counted like sheep for the slaughter. That devil is out there trying to get us at every turn. Do y'all understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
Shame on you if you can't see it.
Right.
You ought to clearly see.
Yes.
That the devil do not like me.
Right. Yes.
And he means to destroy me.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Try to get all up under my skin. Try to make me feel all different kind of ways.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, saints. It feels good to be happy, don't it?
Yes.
But I'm trying to tell you, that devil ain't happy with you being happy.
Right.
Huh? He's going to attack your mind.
Yes.
He is coming. If you ain't came yet, he's coming.
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you, he is coming.
Yes.
Some kind of way, he's going to try to get in your brain and change how you feeling, right?
Right.
But it's up to you to do what? Resist the devil.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Got to put up some form of resistance.
Right.
Got to have some form of a strategy against him. If you don't, he'll take advantage of you.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he will. He'll take advantage of you.
Yes,
he does it all the time.
Yeah.
You see people start off the day real good.
Yeah.
But then the devil get in their mind and take advantage of it.
Right.
Have them doing things that are not like Jesus.
Right.
And before you know it, they wasted a whole day full of regret.
Right.
They say, man, I shouldn't even have done that today.
Yeah.
Huh? I ain't had no business doing this.
Yes.
But look at where you are. You let the devil get in your mind, right?
Yes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Sow to yourselves in what? In righteousness. Uh-huh. Hold on. Let's work on that. Sow to who?
Yourself.
Isn't that the truth? In other words, I got to find what's righteous. And I got to put that in my dirt. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, you got options. You do have options. You can go to the store and buy some rhythm and blues. You can turn on the television and watch them drop it like it's hot. Huh? That's your right. You can do that. But I'm trying to tell you, it's going to put a seed in you. Huh? It's going to put a seed in you. And when you try to call Jesus, you're going to see a naked body. Huh? When you try to call Jesus, a cuss word going to fly in your ear. And you're going to say, where did it come from? Somebody planted a seed, right? And instead of you being single-minded,
right,
you're trying to be what?
Double-minded.
Trying to do a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of flesh. And it don't work.
Right.
Remember, hot and cold creates lukewarm. And the Lord said, I will spit you. Lord, I'm trying to give you a hallelujah. Lord said, I'm tasting your hallelujah and it's nasty. I'm calling on your name, Jesus. I hear that name coming into my mouth and it's nasty. Why is it nasty, Jesus? Because your mind is double. You're a little bit over here and you're a little bit over there. Lord Jesus, please help my mind to have what? A singleness. Singleness means what? One. I need to have one mind. Choose you this day who you are going to serve, right? I'm going to serve Jesus. Thank the Lord I got a mind to want to serve Jesus. Huh? Woke up this morning with a mind to want to serve Jesus. Came in here with a mind to want to serve Jesus. In spite of what's going on, I still got a mind to want to do what? Serve. That's how I know it works. Because regardless of what's going on around you or in you, if you got a mind to serve the Lord, don't underestimate the power of your mind. If your mind is made up, the Lord will work wonders in your life. All you got to do is have a made up mind. But the minute you sit around and start talking about woe is me, the Lord doesn't say, I can't work with you. Why? Because your mind is on something else. You got to get that rock out of you. You got to get them thorns out of you, right? You got to give me space and time to do what? Work. Sow to yourself in what? In righteousness. And what will come forth? You'll reap what? Do you need mercy? Yeah. I need mercy every day. I needed mercy to get out of my bed this morning. I needed mercy to step into that shower. You realize somewhere, somebody today stepped in the shower and slipped. Somebody, somewhere. Oh yeah, it did. Yes, it did. Somewhere, somebody today stepped into a shower and slipped. And it was the worst thing that they could have ever done. Somebody may be paralyzed because of a simple slip. Somebody may have a broken bone. Somebody may have a concussion. Somebody might even be dead. All because they stepped in the shower. But look at you. Lord, let me have what? Mercy. Come on, saints, it's the truth. Come on, acknowledge the Lord in all of his ways. He let you have mercy, right? They said, what you going to do with it? David looked over his whole life. All of his mistakes, all of his good choices. He said, surely, goodness and mercy was following me, what, all the days? Take advantage of mercy, right? Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. When the Lord blesses you, say the Lord was merciful. You get from one point to the next point, the Lord was merciful. Nobody did this for me but Jesus. You hear people even murmuring and complaining. You just sit back. Don't get involved. Say, Lord, help me to keep my mind focused on you. Let me see that you are merciful, Jesus. Huh? Because he could have cut me off. He could have took my life away from me, right? Countless times. You go over your life, the Lord could have cut your life off. But you're here because the Lord was what? He was merciful. He didn't let death do what it wants to do. Death, Satan, wants to take you out of here before you get life. And once you get life, death and Satan is trying to snatch life out of you. That's what I tell you. You're going to constantly have to do what? Repent. You're going to constantly have to repent so that you can get your dirt ready to receive something what? Righteous. I'm not going off what the scriptures say. Hosea chapter number 10 says, sow to yourselves. Who's the only one that can do this? I'm the only one that can put this stuff in the dirt. Says sow to who? You're the only one that can put this stuff in the dirt. You're the only one that can control what seed you want to come into your life, right? Sow to who? Yourself. In what? In righteousness. And then you will do what? You'll reap. Break up. That's what Kevin was doing. That's what he was doing. And he let you see it's hard work, mama. And you can tell when somebody been working hard, they don't look clean. thinks you look so clean and pretty.
Right.
Lord said, you ain't been working hard enough. Saints should look like they've been through something.
Yes.
That's the truth. Like you done been through something. Yeah, your hands should look like you done been through something. Your face should look like you done been through something. This is why in holiness we don't wear no makeup, because we don't need to cover up nothing.
Right.
You need to see every scar, every blemish, and everything else.
Right.
Let the world know I done been through something. Huh?
Right.
But I'm here because of Jesus, right?
Right?
Makeup tries to cover it up.
Yes.
Huh? You don't need to cover up nothing.
Right.
Huh? You need to be reminded of all that Jesus had brought you through.
Right. Every scar.
Every scar. Every blemish. Huh? Lord ain't hide none of his, did he?
No.
They whipped him.
Yes,
they pierced his hands, didn't he?
Yes.
And he told Thomas, feel me.
Right.
I ain't covering up nothing. Feel me.
Right.
And do what? Believe, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thomas got finished touching Jesus. He said, my Lord and my God. Right? Huh?
Yes.
That's the truth, saints. Break up your fallow ground. Because it's what? It's time. Somebody asks you, what time is it? That's the time. It's time to do what? Seek the Lord. And don't stop seeking the Lord till he do what? Rain. Rain down what? Righteousness. Get up under the cloud of heaven. The cloud that is created by Jesus. Every now and then you need this, saints. We need to get up under that cloud and let the cloud do what? Rain on us. You need rain. Everybody loves the sun. Sun feels so good. It's so hot, so warm, and so nice. But every now and then you need some rain. The rain does what? It softens you up. Huh? Too much sun makes you hard and brittle. Huh? But you need some good rain. Huh? Some good rain that come from who? Come from Jesus. Jesus will soften up your ground. Scripture say he'll rain down on what? Righteousness. Is that what the scripture say?
Yes.
He'll rain down righteousness upon you. Right?
Yes.
Now let's see the wrong kind of farmer.
Yes.
Next verse.
Yes.
Somebody. Yeah, what's the problem? Huh?
Yes.
That's the problem. Folks don't want to admit this.
Right.
Everybody be so quick to tell what somebody else did, but what did you do?
Right.
What did you say? Remember, you your own farmer, right?
Right.
You have plowed.
Right.
It didn't say no we.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You have plowed what?
You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. You have eaten the fruit of lies.
Yo, Jesus, please help me.
Wow.
Please help me.
Because thou didst trust in thy way.
Oh, what did I trust in?
My way.
And I already told you in 10 and 1.
Yeah.
It told you what your way looks like.
Right.
It told you from the very first couple of words what your way looks like.
Right.
Ain't nothing to you.
Nope.
You have no substance.
Right.
You have no foundation.
Nope.
You are saying a bunch of empty stuff.
Right.
Folks are going down the list talking about what they got, where they've been. It's empty.
Right.
Because they don't even realize one day when you stop breathing, you ain't going nowhere else. You ain't buying nothing else. You ain't putting nothing else on.
Amen.
You dead. You can't even dress yourself. You said, I picked out my own outfit. But when you dead, you can't stop there. You got a family member that don't like what you had. They say, I don't like that. Let's put this on to them.
Yeah.
Put a little bit of lipstick on their lips. I don't think they look good. Here you are in holiness. Because you let a devil dress you up. You don't even look holy now. Even in the casket. Because you let a devil do it. Saints say, well, we ain't worried about none of that. Because their soul is with Jesus.
Yes.
But the devil said, put some lipstick all on. I can't see it. Make it redder. And they'd be going, oh, she looks so pretty. He looks so nice. And then if you could come, you say, hold up, stop. Put this garbage on me. All my life, you know I don't dress like that. Nails be all painted red. You know I ain't no nail polish.
Right.
I thought it would look good. And that's the truth, saints. It's why you gotta be careful.
Yes.
Gotta be careful. I'm done. I ain't gonna hold y'all up no longer. But I just thought about that, you know, the things that you really can control. Because when you're done, that's it. Everything is out of your control. Y'all understand that everything is out of your control. You have no control over anything. Huh? That's the truth. Sisters, you say, well, Scott, I love my long, pretty hair. Well, you better hope you don't have a child that don't like you.
Jesus.
Because in spite, they will dress you and make you look like something that you knew you did not want to look like.
Right.
All because they did not like who? You.
Jesus.
There's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
Something to think about. Don't you burn them bridges. Do good by people the best way you can. Make sure you write this stuff out. Look, do not let X, Y, and Z do anything with me. I don't care what they say. This is a legal document. Don't let them in the room. It's the truth. You got to do what you got to do. Make sure you represent yourself the way you want to be represented, saints. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide that word in your heart. You may not sin against the Lord. Double-minded. I had one more scripture in James. Write it in your notes so that you all can have it about that double mind. And what kind of mind do we want to have? Single. We don't want a double mind. We want to have a single mind. James chapter number 1. 1, I believe, in verse number 8. 1 and 8 is unstable in all of his ways. Then they say, don't let him do what? Or verse number 7. If you really, 7 goes with 8. 7 goes with 8. See, 7 is really telling you the results of that kind of life. But 8 tells you the condition. 7 tells you the results. But 8 tells you the condition. 8 says a double-minded man is what? Unstable. Verse number 7 tells you the results of that life. In Bible study, we were talking about the equal sign. 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. Equal is the results. The results of a double mind is in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says what? Anything from who? Okay, everybody understand that. So don't let that man think that he's going to get anything coming from who? From Jesus. He may get stuff, but it's not going to be coming from who? Now remember what it is you're doing 10 in 1. Were they getting stuff? But who wasn't it coming from? Right. It was not coming from Jesus. Many remember, and James also deals with that too. James chapter number 1. I didn't intend to go there, but it'd be good for you all to have it. James 1. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Something like that, where there's no 1 and 17. 1 and 16 talks about the life of a sinner. The life of a sinner. Saying the Lord done told you in 1 and 16, do not err. That word err means to sin. Don't do wrong. When it comes down to choices, don't make the wrong choices. All right? And then in, what does that say? 1 and 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
From above.
It's coming down from the Father of life.
Yes.
With whom is no variable.
That word variable means grayness. If I cut off, and this would be equivalent to the double mind. You notice the conditions of the church change because there's two different mind frames. On one side of the church, it is dark. On the other side of the church, it is what? Light. That's the two different mind frames. This is what it's talking about, the double-minded. James is also calling it variableness, meaning grayness. What did you notice about the condition of your Bible? Those that are on the darker side. It's gotten dark. It's gotten gray. So this is why the Lord is telling us to have what kind of a mind? Be single-minded. If you're going to live right. Because there's a lot of light in it. So people, a lot of times you come across people that have chosen to live as sinners, and you're wondering, why are they so convinced in that life? Because they've already made up their mind. They have a singleness of mind that sin is the life that I want to live. Therefore, regardless of what you say, they ain't going to hear it. Because remember, their light is what? Sin. This is what they clearly see. And as Jesus begins to work on their lives, what they clearly see as sin, it becomes to start looking like this. Therefore, that's why they respond in the sad state. Because things that were clear at one point are not clear anymore. And that's what they have to see. Jesus is trying to turn the lights off on sin and turn the light on in holiness. But they have to do what? They got to make up their mind. Where are you going to wind up? Are you going to wind up on the side of righteousness, or are you going to keep on plowing wickedness? This is why you thank the Lord when the Lord turns the light on in your life. Because you start to clearly see who? You. You not only start to clearly see who? You yourself. You also start to clearly see Jesus. And the more you see Jesus, the more you start to hate the things that you see about yourself. Huh? And most folk don't want to come into holiness because they don't want to look at who?
Themselves.
And see that they are faulty. You ain't perfect like you think you are. I know you you think you're the best thing since, Bishop would say, sliced bread. You're not as perfect as you think you are. Huh? You remember you people that some of you may have had long, pretty, flowy hair. You know, people would say, oh, your hair is so gorgeous. Oh, God, that hair is so gorgeous. Where'd you get hair like that? Where did you get skin like that? So your skin is so beautiful, so smooth. And you just thought you was the most, to say the least. And you come over in the holiness, the Lord said, you're nothing. You're the wicked. You be looking and say, hold up, you don't know who I am. You, little did you know, I got it going on. You little did you know you was an empty vine. You were just full of pride, full of vanity. Behold, all of it is what? Vanity. Vanity is a bunch of vain stuff, right? So these are the things you got to thank the Lord for. He brings you into holiness. He turns that light on and helps you to see yourself for really who you are. And you thank Jesus just for that. And you realize Jesus is the one that gets all the glory. Not me.